You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky, that's where I'm gonna go.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
So we got a new trainee here today. Jonathan is sitting here pretending like he's learning stuff, and I'm watching Pastor Dave teaching him stuff, and I'm watching Jonathan kind of glaze over. Because I watched Pastor Dave glaze over when Pastor Tom was teaching him, so don't feel special when it came into the thing.
But that's right. Glazing is a part of the
glazing is a part of the practice.
Okay. It is.
But first of all, I want you to know this is the Team Martech Hour, and the only member of the team here is Joe Martech today, because it does happen.
Yeah.
But just so you know, folks, back in 04, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, said, let's start doing radio shows so that we can answer questions for clients that we don't know the answers to, because there's no such thing as any one person knowing anything. So independent insurance was cars and homes and businesses. An attorney was wills and trusts and other legal questions. And Joe Martech was money, financial advice, and answer that questions to help people with 401ks, with IRAs, answer questions on what's a mutual fund. Now, Jonathan, you're going to like this one. So I had a student, and he was sitting behind a microphone. And I said, do you know what a mutual fund is? And you know what that student said?
It's like a pizza.
It's like a pizza. Now, does that make any sense to you at all?
No.
Now, wait a minute. While you're standing over here, come over here and sit, because you got a microphone. Because now you're a student. And listen, I like this. We're going to do. So Jonathan is a trainee. If everything works out and he doesn't die, in a period of time, he will be the new station manager or whatever we're going to call you, right?
That's what I understand.
So do you know what a mutual fund is?
Not really. I just know it's a lot of people's money put together in different things. And so it's the game plan is to make money without a great deal of risk, to limit the risk.
That's not bad, is it?
That was very good, better than my first response.
That was pretty good. Now,
I mean, I like the pizza part, but I don't know what that's
well,
about.
Well, now you're going to love it. We're going to have Pastor Dave explain the pizza part.
Okay. Here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
Joe and I buy this pizza that consists of 100 different companies. And other people want a slice of that pizza, maybe a tiny slice, maybe a larger slice. So what we will do is we'll sell them a slice of that pizza, and we'll charge them a small amount to administer the cutting thereof and the management of all the ingredients, the pepperoni, the onions, the black olives, which I enjoy. And so as many people can buy into that and buy a slice, and that's how that's kind of how mutual fund is like a pizza.
You know, he really forgot the basic rules, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
But if you look at this logically, so Pastor Dave and I, we put together $100 million. Can you believe that? Neither can I. But we do it anyway. So we now have this $100 million that we have raised, and we buy stock in a million companies. So it's now into this great big pie. All of these stocks, all of these different companies are in this great big pie. And then Jonathan comes along and says, hey, guys, I know you. I want $10,000 worth of all 100 of those companies. So we take this great big pie and we slice you off a sliver, which is now called the mutual fund. And that great big pie, you now own a fraction of all of the shares that Pastor Dave and I put together. So a mutual fund basically is fractional ownership of all of the companies that are inside, and the use the pizza as the analogy, because you can see this great big circle full of all these companies, and it makes sense. So that's the good news, right?
Right.
Now, absolutely. What happens is Pastor Dave and I, because we are not philanthropists, because in order to be a philanthropist, you have to be rich. We don't have that problem. So we need to make a fee. So normally the owners of that great big pie will take a fee anywhere from normally 0.25 point up to as much as 5% a year, depending on the complexity of that pie. So let's just say we copy an index. You've heard of indexes.
Yes.
There's the Dow, which is 30 companies. The S&P 500 is 500 companies. Well, they've already got that whole thing all figured out. It's just all we do is copy it. And if we start an index and we copy it, we normally can't make too much of a fee because we're not doing much work because somebody else has all done the work. But if we go out and we buy stock, let's say in France and Germany and Japan and England and from the Philippines, and we put it all in that pie, it could be a bit more complex, this pie. So we may charge a higher fee because we now have to do a lot more research and we've got to go all over the world buying these things. So it means a lot more work. So the whole object of a mutual fund is what you said. We're spreading the risk out so that we are not invested in just one company. We're invested in 20, 40, 50, 100, 500. There's some of these funds are over 3,000 companies. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept of the mutual fund is to spread the risk. Now, more education. You ready? What do you think are the negatives of a mutual fund, other than the fact you got to pay people to buy these shares? Do you think of any negatives?
Well, if those companies aren't making money, if it's not well managed, if someone's not keeping their eyes on what's going on with the companies, and
Here comes Pastor Dave and Joe, and we are buying and selling these companies. If we're not doing a good job of buying and selling, get rid of the companies that are not profitable, then our owners, meaning if you own a sliver, are not making as much. Mm-hmm. And that literally happens.
Yeah. Sure.
Like last year, the Standard & Poor's 500, 500 of America's blue chips, which is it's called the benchmark. It's 500 big companies. And it's weighted, meaning the companies that are the biggest have the biggest share of the 500 if we weight this whole index. Well, if we just copy the index, we don't have to be too bright. But last year, it made around 25%. Okay, that's what you call a good year.
That's good.
Does it make that every year? Of course not. What's it averaged over a period of many, many years? It's somewhere between 8 and 10% a year, with some years being good, some years being bad, etc. So literally, in the long run, it looks pretty good to have this S&P 500. But let's go back and say that Pastor Dave and Joe say, okay, fine, we're going to do the Pastor Dave and Joe Mutual Fund, and we're going to go and mix companies from all over the world into here because we like them. And we are now going to share with everybody the value of all of those. And let's just say Pastor Dave and Joe are not too bright, and we buy wrong companies, and the S&P 500 goes up 25% and we go down 10%, which does happen. Some mutual funds do not make money, and some make a lot of money. How do you know? It's tough. Now, what happens is, very often, an investment advisor like Joe Martek comes up and says, hey, this is one that I know pretty well and I feel pretty comfortable about, and it might be a smart move for you to get into based on my knowledge, and let me educate you, which is kind of what we're doing on this show, is educating people on what to do. So the concept of the mutual fund is good, that it spreads the risk out over a whole bunch. So if you have 100 companies and one goes bad, I've got 99 that'll carry that. So maybe I would have made 20% if everybody did well, but because one did bad, I might make 18 or 19%. So it's a whole concept is good. What are the negatives of the mutual fund? Well, one, you got to pay the manager, and his fee is going to be, let's whatever it is, 1%, let's say, a year. That money is basically comes out on a daily basis. So let's divide that 1% a year into 365 days, and it doesn't literally 365 because the market's not open 365, but literally, or figuratively, we're going to divide that by the whole calendar year, and we're going to take a little tiny sliver of profit every single day out of that total fund. Then you end up what's called the net asset value, which is the value of the shares of all of that on a daily basis, and that's what it's worth. But let's just say you call up in the morning to your broker, and it's Joe Martek, boy here, and you say, Joe, I want you to sell my mutual fund, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Got it? I say, well, no problem. And I hang up the phone, you hang up the phone. What I didn't tell you was it won't sell until 4 o'clock today. Because the market doesn't close until 4 o'clock. And the way mutual funds work, you can't buy or sell until the close of business. So if I call you, you call me at 10 o'clock in the morning and you want to buy, I say, okay, you don't buy until close of business today. Or you sell, you don't sell until the close of business today. Is that good or bad? And boy, the answer is it depends. So let's say the value at 10 o'clock in the morning is $100. And the value at 4 o'clock today is $50. You think you might be a little upset?
Yes.
Yeah, because your value was cut in half because something cataclysmic occurred. On the other hand, if the value was 100 at 10 in the morning and at 4 o'clock it was $110 and it sold, you'd be happy.
Sure.
But the key is this. You have no control over that. That is the way the system works with the mutual fund. Now, let me give you another example. You're going to like this one even better. This is one of my more favorite ones. And I'd ask Dave this one, but I think he'd fail the test because, you know, he's almost as old as me and memory is...
If it's not pizza, I can't remember it.
So you come along and you say, Joe, it's November 1st and I want to buy $10,000 worth of this mutual fund November 1st. And I take your $10,000, you buy it, you get a statement, shows you own 100 shares, let's just say.
Right.
And those 100 shares are worth $10 a piece. So now that adds up to, I'm guessing, $10,000 if I did my math wrong. Okay, $100 a share, let's just go. Anyway, we now have $10,000 worth that we bought November 1st of all these shares. End of the year comes, December 31st. You haven't sold any, you haven't bought anymore. January rolls around and you get a statement. And statement says you now have taxes to pay and your value went from 10,000 down to 9,000. But wait a minute, you now have to pay taxes because you made a profit. You say, "Wait a minute, Joe. I put in 10,000. My statement says I'm only worth 9,000." How in the world can I have a profit and pay taxes when I lost money? Is that a fair question?
Good question.
So what happens is Dave and Joe decided somewhere between the time you bought and the end of the year that we are going to sell some of the shares inside of that thing. And we bought those shares 10 years ago, so we sold them at a profit. And everybody that owns those by the end of the year has to share in that profit. Even though the total value of your fund went down, you may still have a tax consequence. Not fair, right?
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. So then, guess what somebody came up with? You're not going to guess. Exchange traded funds, ETFs. Have you heard of that?
I have.
Okay. Basically, the ETF is the exact same pizza pie. Exact same companies, we do the same exact thing and we collect a fee, Only each and every investor stands on their own. They're not mixed together with the others. Second thing that happens is you can buy it at 10 in the morning and you can sell it at 10:15 in the morning. You don't have to wait till 4 o'clock. So we've got two. I love the concept of the ETF as opposed to the mutual fund because it doesn't have the two major problems, one of the 4 o'clock buy and sell, and the other one is that I don't have to share the gain or loss with everybody else. Mine stands on its own. Exchange traded fund, ETF. So if I put the two side by side, which and they're both exactly the same, one's Standard & Poor's 500 mutual fund, the other one's a Standard & Poor's 500 ETF, the ETF shines much, much better.
Sure.
Because I have more liquidity and I have less tax, negative tax consequences. Okay?
Makes good sense.
You feel all educated now?
I do. I feel all educated.
I'm really good. Now, David's edumacated, but you're now educated.
I am educated.
Educated. Mm-hmm. Okay, now here comes the $64,000 question. Well, it's not really. That's way too much. How many companies are in the Dow?
A lot.
The Dow is 30 companies. Blue chips. 30 of America's biggest companies make up the Dow Jones.
You said that just a few moments ago.
But that was a test. I was just seeing if you're paying attention.
You said 30 and 500. I heard you.
I know. Yeah, you know, but listen, I got them on. What happens is this, and Jonathan, I love doing what I'm doing to you. This is not fair.
And you're good at it.
I'm good at it. You will find out, given time, that I am not one of these people that are fair. I love getting somebody that is a bit of a neophyte and picking on them. So I hate to tell you, you should have left earlier today before I showed up. It's your turn in the barrel, right?
But I might just learn something.
Well, that's the whole concept. You know what? When you get sharp sticks in the eye, you learn better.
True.
And Dave, I'm going to tell you what, you got to admit, you've learned a bit over.
I've learned a great deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the concept of anything that anybody does, you know, everybody's an expert usually in something. It's hard to be an expert in a lot of things. Now, I'm not an expert in a lot of things. I'm an expert in certain areas. And I'm dangerous in a few. But my job is investments and trying to help people make right decisions. So back to having a neophyte here. I'm happy today. I am so happy because nobody else showed, you see. And poor Jonathan. Now, you can't sneak out now. You're stuck.
I could have warned you, but I didn't know you were going to be here.
Okay. Have you heard interest rates go up and bonds go down?
I have.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Really? Okay. Explain to me.
Well, I can understand interest rates going up, wherein perhaps the economy, perhaps demand would put some force on that, some influence on that. Bonds, I don't know a lot about bonds, so I've heard a lot of talk about bonds not being a great thing at some times because they could bottom out or it could be a bubble or something.
Does that answer sound very good to you, Dave?
There were pieces of it that did. See, I've heard this answer before.
He already knows the story. You see,
but now, I don't want
I'm picking on him rather than you, and you're happy about that.
Oh, I'm just working the board here, Joe.
Okay, so let's just say that Pastor Dave and Joe Martek go out and buy one bond for $1,000, and it's got a 10-year maturity date.
Right.
And it costs $1,000, and it pays 5%. Got it?
Got it.
So we are going to collect $500 every single year, no, $50, 5%, every single year on that bond for the next 10 years. A year goes by, and Pastor Dave says, Joe, I don't like you anymore. I don't want you as a partner anymore. I want a new partner. Go to Jonathan and get him to buy you out and become my partner. So I go to you and I say, Jonathan, listen, Dave doesn't like me anymore. Give me $500 and you will now have this 5% bond as a partner with Dave. And you say, what's it pay, Joe? And I say 5%. And you say, Joe, give me a day, let me do a little research. So you do a little research and you find out that interest rates are now 6%. Mm-hmm. And we have a 5% bond, good for another 10 years. And you look at me and you say, Joe, I like you very much. Really, I don't really mean you like you that much, but here's the key. Here's the key. Why would I buy a 5% bond when interest rates went up and I can buy one that pays 6%? And you know what I say to you? I don't like you because you're getting too smart.
Right.
I'm trying to slick you into this right. thing. What you say is, look, if you really want me to be a partner, you have to discount that $500, 1% a year for the next 10 years so that I end up with a 6% yield. So interest rates went up and the value of the bond went down.
Right.
Making sense now?
Yes.
Okay. The reverse can happen. We have the same 5% bond and a year goes by and interest rates go down to 4% on the new ones.
Hmm.
Well, everybody wants our 5% one now because it pays more than the new one. So we now have what's called a premium. We can charge more for our $500 because the yield is better than what the new ones are. Okay?
Got it.
So what's happening now in the economy? The Federal Reserve for the last year or so has raised interest rates.
Right.
Well, that adversely has affected the bond market because as they raise interest rates, the existing bonds are going down in value. So literally what I've been telling people now for the last few shows or last year or two, whatever long period it is, if you own one particular bond, a bond that has a 10-year window, 5-year window, whatever, and you know exactly what the interest rate is and you know exactly how much you're going to get back 5 or 10 years from now, and you're patient and you don't want to sell it, you're okay. You're okay. You may be not good, but you're okay. New ones might be paying more, yours is paying less,
right.
but at least you know you're going to get your money back if you hold it to maturity. But if you have a bond fund, back to the pizza, Dave and Joe buy 100 different bonds, different companies, paying different interest rates, and we put them into that great big pie, and they have 5-year maturities, 10-year maturities, 20-year maturities, and we buy and sell constantly inside that pie. We don't have a start date, we don't have an end date. And we are going to pay interest rates, and each time we make a move on that, it may adversely affect the whole pie, because as interest rates keep going up, you bought this fund 2 years ago, you could be losing rapidly. So literally what I've been trying to tell people is now, look at what you've got, and in my not too humble opinion, bond funds today, you're shooting yourself in the foot, because the Fed is expected to raise interest rates 3 to 4 times this year, which means every time they do, your value is going to go down.
Right.
Just that simple. Now, how long is that going to last? And I don't know. Nobody knows how long the Fed's going to raise interest rates, but we know probably for a year or more. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember back to in the early 80s when interest rates got up to 16, 15, 17.
I remember.
Remember those days?
Yeah.
Terrible days. But what they do is the Fed uses interest rates to slow down the economy if inflation gets out of control.
Sure. Mm.
So they're slowly raising interest rates now, anticipating inflation starting to creep in. So far it hasn't, but they've never figured out how to stay right in the middle. So it's either too much, too little, too much, too little. Mm. So at some point, we will probably get into an inflationary economy again. Then they'll raise interest rates like crazy. Now, let's say bonds get up to 7 or 8%. Boy, oh boy. We buy them at the top of the market, then all of a sudden they start lowering interest rates. We can make not only our 7 or 8%, but we can make a profit as the new ones come in at a lower rate. That's probably a year or two or three or four or who knows how long out. So I look at my clients today and or anybody that has bonds in their portfolio, and I say, look, if it was me, I wouldn't have any today because interest rates are going up. I'm shooting myself in the foot. What else would I be in? I'd rather see people sitting in a money market making next to nothing than losing money.
Mm.
So the money market account may pay 0.25% or 0.125% or nothing, but it may pay something. But usually that money is pretty secure. Stock funds, back to the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100, different stock funds, last year did extremely well. I anticipate this year that they'll do well, maybe not as well as last year, because last year was a boom year, but 10-15% is not out of the realm of probability. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it will happen, but it could happen. There's all kinds of things that get in the way of the market making money. Political, geopolitical, wars. There's all kinds of things that can occur to cause good and bad things to happen. But given all the norm, we are in America, thank you, Lord. And this is the land of milk and honey. To anybody in the world knows that. And in spite of politics and what's going on, the economy is humming along and doing pretty well. So we expect this to be a pretty decent year.
Sounds good to me.
Let me go back into more bond funds. Because poor Jonathan, you're just, I know.
I'm in trouble now.
You're in trouble.
If I've got bonds, I might be in trouble.
You might be in trouble. Well, there's other things that happen. So let's take 401ks. You know what those are?
Yes.
Kind of?
Mm-hmm.
Or yes?
A little bit.
Okay. That was a good answer, see, because I was going to test them here, but now it's a little bit. I can't really give them a hard test, you know, but I could have given you a
means of investment.
What happens is you work for a company that's a profit company, and they say, okay, fine, we want to keep you as an employee, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you invest a portion of your paycheck into this fund called a 401k, and we, the employer, will match whatever you put in up to whatever the percentage of your pay is. So let's say you're making 50 grand a year and there's a 3% match. That's $1,500 a year, and every paycheck you would take a portion of your check and put it in, and they would put in the same amount of money. That's called a 100% return. That's the greatest deal in the whole world. Now sometimes these retirement accounts say, however, we won't vest the portion that we put in until you've worked for us for a period of time. It's kind of a golden handcuff. Right. It makes you stick with them, because in order to get invested, we got a phone call?
No, but you may want to give them the number so they can do that.
What's our number?
Our number is...
Oh, look, he had to look up, which is good. We got signs all over the place.
888-221-8990 is a toll-free number from anywhere.
You know what it is? I'm supposed to do that at the beginning of the show, and thank you for reminding me, Dave. I normally say, class, write that number down unless you're driving.
Hmm.
When you're driving, don't write it down. But keep that number next to your phone, because there's questions that you can answer anytime. And by the way, if you don't call us on the show, you can call the radio station anytime, and Pastor Dave, Tom, Jonathan will take your message and have us call you back. And if, by chance, we miss you and we don't call you back, which, because we're not, you know, last time I walked on water, did I tell you about that?
It's been a while, I think.
It was frozen.
Oh, it was frozen.
So what I'm trying to say is there are mistakes made, and I have made some where I lost somebody's name in the thing.
Right.
But we never do it on purpose. We will call back everybody no matter what and try to help you any way we can. And I don't care what the problem is. I don't care if it's to do with our business or whatever. Whatever way we can help you as a group, we're very blessed people. We got a group of six local professionals that are all well-seasoned. None of them are young. Everybody's been in business a long time. We've got about 200 years of combined experience. So that's a good chunk. So we got a lot of information, whether it's legal, taxes, insurance, mortgages, real estate, or finances. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. So now we're doing the bond thing. We've done that. Let me give you something that does happen in certain 401ks. The 401k is sponsored by the employer. If it's a 403b, that's a nonprofit employer. Could be a hospital or a church or whatever. But 401k is a profit. Not just because the government gives it different letters. The rules are the same. The rules are simple. You can put money in. The employer might match a certain part. You can not pay tax on the money when you put it in. It's called tax deferred. But if you take that money out before you're age 59 and a half, the government says we're going to charge you a 10% penalty plus whatever the tax rate is. So you really don't want to take money out. On the other hand, 401ks and 403bs will often allow you to borrow money. Say you want to go buy a house or something. As long as you pay it back over a schedule, then there's no tax. So it can work to your benefit, especially buying a house or something like that.
Sure.
It can be a good thing. But here comes where the employer can actually controls the investments. They get together and they put a program together, and let's just say there's 10 investments involved. Now, there might be 20,000 investments out there, but they have 10 different choices. Some of the plans have age-weighted investment plans. Does that make any sense?
I'm not sure what age-weighted means.
And neither do I. But I'm going to tell you. No, I'm kidding. I do know.
You do get heavier as you get older.
You get heavier as you get older. Very good.
I'm fighting that.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, listen. Pot calling the kettle black here, I'm telling you. So here's what happens literally. If you're 30 years old, you're young, and we're going to figure you're going to work for 35 more years. Right?
Right.
I mean, let's just use some logic. So what they say age-weighted means, we're going to take you because you're young, and we're going to put you more into stock funds because you got a long time to work, and the market can go up and down, but you can take fluctuation. As you get older, and let's say you're now 60, they might say in the age-weighted one, we're going to have you 70% in bonds and 30% in stocks. Because bonds are supposed to be a safer investment. Well, they might be safe. They're going to pay exactly what they say, but they may lose money because interest rates are going up, and that bond fund inside of there can lose value. So you watch your 401k statement go down because you're now 60, 62, 63, 64. You're supposed to retire in another year or four, and because you're in an age-weighted fund. So I tell all my clients or anybody that listens, look at your 401k or your 403b, and if you don't have a name of the fund, but it's called age-weighted or it says something to do with age, they may use different words, but if it doesn't say a large cap, small cap, mid cap, bonds, if it doesn't have something that's easy to figure out, it may be age-weighted. And the next thing to do is either call somebody like me and tell me what the name of it is, or go back to the sponsor company, call them up and say, what is this? And why am I in this? Do I have to be in this? Under normal circumstances, if you're in a 401k, 403b, you are in control of where that money is invested. There may be 10 choices, might be 20, but you may have picked one at the time you opened it 10 years ago that was age-weighted, and maybe you were 40 and now you're 50, and it looked pretty good under the circumstances back then, but today it may be not good. So you need to get a little bit educated, because there's nothing like having $200,000 in this retirement account this month, and next month you got $190,000. And you say, wait a minute, my girlfriend's making 3%, 4%, 5% a month in the market, and I'm losing. How can that happen? We're both in it. Because one, you don't know. You haven't been educated. Now, the way to get educated is one of two ways. Either talk to somebody like me or call up the plan sponsor, your company. And very often the plan sponsors, sometimes I've had this happen, they'll talk to you in words that are industry words. Every business has industry words that people don't understand if they're not in that business.
Sure.
So they get confused because they don't understand. And very often people don't like to look dumb, so they don't ask the question. And you know, the older we get, the less, I wouldn't say we don't get smarter, but we get less dumb, because we're not ashamed to ask questions, I think, as we get older. Whereas when you're younger, you don't want to look stupid. When you get old, we don't care if we look stupid.
That's right.
But you have to. Is that fair now?
So we're bigger.
Scary, but fair.
Yeah, I know, it's scary, but true. Yeah. So the concept is, in order to get educated, sometimes you have to hit people in the head with a 2x4 to get their attention and say, don't use industry words. Explain this to me in English. So you can learn. And then if that fails, then you call up somebody like me and say, Joe, I can hit you in the head with a board because you told me that's allowed. Don't you dare use industry words. Teach me what I need to know to make a good decision, because, hey, there's nothing like retiring poor. You know, a lot of people try it, and it's not a good thing. You know, and if God doesn't decide to call us and we're stuck living to be 115, that's a long time. Or 90 is even worse, I guess. I don't know which number we want to shoot for. But anyway, living a long time poor is not good. And we've all tried being poor. It's just not nearly as much fun as having a few bucks in the bank.
True.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So, Jonathan, how do you are you enjoying being my guinea pig today?
I am enjoying it very much. I'm just wondering, what do people do that are in that situation that have kind of got themselves tied up into a bunch of those maybe bonds, and they can see their bottom line decreasing rather than increasing?
Well, what happens inside of the options in the 401k, in the 403b, or any retirement plan, there are options. Usually there's 10 to 20 different options, including cash, including stock funds. So you don't have to be in one. You may make a decision today to be in it, but you can change your mind. It's your money. You don't have to stay in the one you're in. You can get out of it, but you have to know what you're getting out of before you know what you're getting into.
So you can get educated.
You need to get educated.
Get an education and put some of your personal choices into the direction of your future rather than just letting it sit.
Once you're educated, you know, it's an amazing thing. Ignorance is a word that means we haven't been educated. It's just not a bad word.
Right.
All it means is we haven't learned it yet. Once you learn it, now you don't have an excuse. The only thing that ignorance of the law, the government doesn't like that and the police don't like that. That's tough that you don't know how to read the speed limit sign. You know? That's one that they don't count. Mm. But the reality is this, just because you haven't learned it doesn't make you dumb. It just means you haven't learned it.
Right.
So my job is to teach people, and I have this happen to me all the time. People say, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot. Well, you know, when you do something every day, you get to know it. But if you don't do it every day, it's not high priority, you forget the details. So this happens regularly that I have to, quote, re-educate people. It's nothing in the world is easy until you know it. Hmm. So, and how do you do that? Well, guys like me, the quote, financial professionals, you get licenses, certifications, continuing education, all kinds of stuff. When you become an ordained minister, that's not so easy too. You've got to go through all kinds of education, and then there's continuing education, there's courses, there's all kinds of things you have to continue to do to stay proficient in your occupation.
Right.
So it happens in everything that we do as a group. Every one of us has continuing education courses. So my job is to constantly know what's happening and try to advise either listeners or clients or anybody on how to make good decisions for themselves. And no matter what happens, nobody can sit here and tell you what's going to happen for sure in the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. We do our best guesses. And then you have to look and say, what kind of risk do I want to take or not take for my individual self? Let's take a phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. I just have a quick question for you guys.
Go ahead.
I currently have a 401k, and I'm putting in, I mean, my company only matches 6%, but I put in 10.
Okay.
Because every year I increase it 1%. But a friend of mine who, she's not a financial advisor, but she knows a lot about stocks and bonds and things of that nature, and she recommended that I, instead of putting 10%, to take at least 1% or whatever amount I want to and open a Roth.
Okay. Now, here.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know enough about it or if that's a good idea.
Well, let's beat this up a little bit. A Roth is an IRA, an individual retirement account, and the way a Roth works is you pay tax on the money that you put into the account, and then all of the growth and the money that is in there, you can take out at a later date, and there's no tax on it. So let's just use an example. Let's say I put $10,000 into the Roth, and now it's worth $100,000 10 years later. I can take the whole $100,000 out, and there's no tax. You follow me?
Right.
So the Roth.
Yep, because you paid for the taxes when they took it out.
When you first put it in.
Initially.
Yeah, when you first put it in, it's not a tax deduction on your paycheck. You put the money in and you pay tax on that, but all the growth and that money is now tax-free whenever you take it out. Now, Here comes some $64,000 questions. You ready? One, how old are you?
47.
Okay, so that means you're going to be working probably for another 15 or 20 years if everything goes right. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. Number two, there are some rules that say you cannot have too much money contributed into a retirement plan at work, like a 401k, and have the Roth on the outside. So there are annual contribution limits, how much money you can put in. So,
okay.
So let's just say, and I don't know exactly what your limits are, but let's just say that you're only allowed to put $10,000 a year, period, into retirement accounts. And if you put $8,000 into your company account, that means you've only got $2,000 that you could put into an outside IRA or Roth IRA.
Got it.
See?
Okay, that's understood.
So the magic question is, you need to know exactly how much you contribute into that. Then we need to know what your annual pay is. Then we need to find the tax law that is current to find out if you can actually do what your girlfriend is suggesting.
Got it. Okay. I have an accountant, so I can ask him. He'll direct me.
That exactly is the right person to ask.
Right. Okay.
All righty.
That was my question.
You got it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You guys are so helpful. I listen to the show every week. And, you know, you throw out information out there that you know, I'm always like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. So it's good.
Well, that's why I'm picking on Jonathan here today, because poor guy, I can't pick on Pastor Dave and Tom anymore because I've been picking on them for 4 years and they know all this stuff now. So now I get somebody.
I'm an easy pick.
He's an easy pick.
I'm an easy pick and you're doing well.
But thank you for calling in, because that's a really good question.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Bless you too. You know, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Is somebody coming up with a real life situation? How does this thing work for me? And that's what happens. The government says you're allowed to put money into retirement accounts, but there's rules and rules and rules and rules. And it depends on the type of retirement account. It depends if you're self-employed or working for a company. There's probably 10 different retirement plans that all look the same on the surface, but one allows you to put $25,000 a year in and one allows you to put $6,000 in. Depending on the rules. Some of them say if you work in a company and you own the company and you set up a retirement plan for yourself, you've also got to set it up for every employee. You can't just discriminate. There are some that allow you to discriminate. The key is knowing them all is tough. What you have to do is look at you individually, say, here's my circumstances. What can I do that's in my best interest for myself and my family in the long run and in the short run? Because you can't save all your money because you have to eat. Little minor side effects. You know,
true.
House payment, put gas in the car, little things. So all of these things are an equation. But once you know the answers, then you can.
So, Joe, I have a question.
Good.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to all your wisdom just pulling, you know, rolling out here while you're picking on me. But for people listening today, what's it cost to come in and see you? How does someone get started? How do they get connected?
Number one, it costs nothing. All it amounts to is I talk to people and counsel them, and then we say, is there something we can do to make your situation better? And then we find out what it is. Now, by the way, every single person in our group does the same thing.
That's awesome.
It's the attorney, whether it's Mike Paulus. Let's talk about another member of the team. I mean, Mike Paulus, who's not here, who's one of my favorite ones, because he's only 1 mile away and he can't find a way to get here from his office.
There's road work.
It's road work. Hey, that's a good excuse.
Road work.
It's not a real good one, but that's the only one you can use. But he does mortgages, and when he's busy, he's busy. One of the things that happens, let's say you ever apply for a house mortgage?
I have.
Of course. Did you go into a bank to do it?
I have in the past.
And normally what happens in a bank, they take paperwork and do whatever and get started, and a couple weeks later they tell you something or nothing or more. I mean, but they don't tell you immediately.
Right.
You call Mike Paulus, in 15 minutes he'll run a credit report, talk to you on the phone, and tell you what you qualify for. Mm. You know, when you're done. 15 minutes. Now, what happens is Mike will defend the banks because banks have rules and they don't want to be discriminatory. They don't want to get sued because they're a big institution. Sure. So very often, it might take you 2 weeks or a month to find out where you stand. But with Mike, you'll know in 15 minutes. Hmm. Mortgage brokers, under most of them, charge no more or oftentimes less than going into your local bank to get a mortgage. Mike does not work for any one bank. He works for you, and now he has 10 or 20 different banks that he deals with. Which one fits you?
Right.
It's no different than Dan, independent insurance.
Insurance, agent. Same thing as a broker.
Same thing. He's got 100 different companies under his umbrella, and then he can say, okay, fine, you fit this one, and if this one falls out of favor next year, we move you to another one.
Right.
So the concept of our group is one to know is counsel first, and then let's find out if there's some way that we can fit. Nobody is going to charge anything to counsel you.
That's excellent.
So that works. 1-888-221-8990. In fact, I think I had a lady last week that called in, or maybe I talked to her after the show, that had one of the age-weighted funds inside of her 401k. And I just said, hey, if it was my money, I call up right now and say, sell that right now and either put it into the other ones or leave it in cash, because cash doesn't go up or down. Mm. Now, the cash normally, I had this happen this week. She says, I called up and they don't have a cash fund. What do I do? And I said, do they have a money market? Yeah, they do. Well, the people that you're talking to, they don't understand when you say cash that it's the same as a money market account. Mm. But they oftentimes listen to only your words. If you don't know the words, they don't help interpret. Mm. My job is to help interpret. Very often a fund that is the cash fund, by the name of the fund, I can tell if it's a money market account or a cash fund. It could be a government securities fund. They have different names for it, but literally it doesn't change in value. It doesn't make, it doesn't lose. Sometimes they are now starting to pay an eighth of a percent or a tiny little bit.
Okay.
But not much. You know, it's like going to your bank with your savings account. You know, we got you the high interest savings account paying a quarter of a half a percent.
Right.
You know, but it's just how the system works. So the whole concept of our group, no matter which one you deal with, is first to educate you, to help you make better decisions. Is that a fair thing?
That's a great service.
Very,
very needed
very
service.
Fair, yeah.
It's never too late to perhaps look at things and see if maybe you're doing things well, or maybe it could be done better.
Well, you know, everybody again has their areas of expertise, and I meet people that have been quote in programs for a long, long, long time that didn't know any of these things. That to me, a financial advisor is supposed to advise. That's what's called the label, and we're supposed to help you make these decisions. But when you've got 1,000 clients, it's hard to just automatically advise everybody. Usually they react rather than act.
Right.
So you have to be not afraid to ask a question, ever, ever, because they're getting paid every day to manage your money and to help you. And if you're not using them, they're getting paid for free. So use them, whether it's your company.
If you're not, someone else is using them.
No doubt about it.
Right, right.
So whether it's your company or let's say Joe Martek has a whole bunch of clients, and I probably talk to 10 a day. It's just the way life works. Thank you, Lord, for cell phones, because I can talk to people anytime. And questions come up. And I tell everybody, I said, hey, if you want to talk to me, don't call my office, because I avoid the office if I can help it. I'm not good at sitting in an office. But my cell phone is always on. I used to have a client, you get a kick out of this, Jonathan. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., he would call me. 7 p.m., not 7:01. No, I'm kidding, but it was like 7 o'clock.
Sure.
He would go to church, a late service. At the end of the service, he'd walk out and be in the parking lot talking to other men. And the questions of money would come up. Mm. Sure enough, they didn't know the answer. He would call me from the parking lot.
That's great.
Well, I told people, every client I've got, I said, I don't care when you want to talk to me. If you call me at 3 in the morning, I may not remember.
Right.
But my cell phone is always on, and I may be sound asleep and not hear it ring, leave a message. But the key is this. My job is to help people, period, and answer their questions, whether I'm helping you for me to be your financial advisor or somebody else. The bottom line is, I'm a monster believer in what goes around comes around. If we do the right thing, it's going to come back.
I wonder how many people out there listening, and there's certainly more out there that aren't, but have the same problem. And that's, people are afraid of talking to a professional like you or our attorney or our mortgage broker, because they're afraid that that initial contact is going to cost them money.
Nobody in our group, period, charges anything to talk to you.
Right.
And you know, the way attorneys get paid is they get paid to talk to you. But right. The point is, if you met with Greg Fasulin and talking wills and trust and everything, he takes information. And once he's got all the information, then he'll say, okay, fine. If you want to go forward, here's what we're going to do, and this is what I'm going to charge you.
Right.
But nothing to talk up front. Vince Rizzino, CPA, same scenario. He'll talk to you and look at your situation and say, hey, oh, fine. If you want to hire me, this is what you're going to, what I'm going to charge. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, one of the hardest working realtors in the whole world. Same thing. She only gets paid on a commission, period, if you buy or sell or do whatever.
Sure.
Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Same scenario. The only way he gets paid is if you do a mortgage. And he may counsel you and say, you got probably 6 more months before you can even qualify for a mortgage, and here's what you need to do
to get there,
to get cleaned up. You might have a couple of problems that need to be addressed, and we can do that. One of the problems with mortgages, you have to show that you can afford to make the payment. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's
what a scenario, right?
What a concept.
What a concept. Well, very often, if you have too much credit card debt, the ratio of income to debt won't work. So he may say, okay, fine, you need to pay off these 2 or 3 cards, and it may take you 3 or 6 months to do that so you can qualify.
Sure.
So the whole job is counseling to get people in a position to be where they want to be.
Which a professional is able to do that.
That's what they're supposed to do. Right. That's why they have the education and the credentials. 1-888-221-8990. I've got a client, by the way, that came from the show, that she's got 2 different employers that she has 401ks in, and they're supposed to be rolling them over to put into an investment. And she said, Joe, would you text me or email me exactly what I'm supposed to tell them, word for word? Because back again, it might be easy for me, word for word, because I do it. But the words... And how many, I can't tell you how many times in life I have asked people, email me or text me exactly what I'm supposed to know. Don't pass go, don't collect 200, don't paraphrase, give me word for word, 1 or 2 sentences, exactly what I'm supposed to say, because I don't know that. This is not my expertise. And it's so much easier when people do that. When they get this, tell your financial professional or whatever it might be exactly what you want, and have them do it exactly the way you want it, and have them text it or fax it.
We have a question. The person didn't want to go on the air. Question is it better to have a personal loan or credit card balance when looking at a credit rating?
See, I don't know that there's any difference. Here's one of the problems that happens. A personal loan, let's take a loan that you're paying interest only and you never pay principal and you've had it for 3 or 4 years. Well, that's not a good thing. If you're not reducing the debt, it's not a good thing. If you have a credit card and you've got a $10,000 limit and you're up $10,000 all the time,
that's not a good
thing. That's not a good thing. So when you think about this, if a lender's out there wanting to loan you money, whether it's a house or a car, and they look and you say, hey, you never bring down your balances, you just keep adding more debt, you're not as good a risk as a person that pays off their balances. So whether it's a personal loan or a credit card, both of them need to be reduced. That doesn't mean you need to pay them off, but if you stay at the top of the limit, this is probably not a good thing for your credit. Mm-hmm. Probably. Now, you know how the word, you got to be careful on absolutes in life. Sometimes you can have one particular one, let's say that pays, that you're charged 1% on, and you keep that up to the limit because 1% is a great number, and you've got others that are 16 or 15 or 12%, and you pay those off. Now, that... Back again, there's some logic where it makes sense from a credit standpoint to get rid of high interest debts.
But the bottom line's being lowered in that situation. You're still not out of balance with your
when it comes to
total debt.
A new person is going to loan you money, They're looking at your ratio. You got X number of dollars coming in every month, and you've got X number of dollars going out. Yeah. If you have no room left to eat, you got a problem.
Right. There are some free apps you can get on your phone or your computer that, for no charge, you can. They'll track your credit score and show you how you're doing.
Yep.
When it goes up,
and they can give you some advice too.
They give you some advice.
I had a young man who's a listener who called up and said he's got major debt, major problem, and they've adopted a ton of children, and he's got they're both working, making good money, but he's got himself in a situation. I said, well, you got a couple ways to go. One, you can go bankrupt. Well, he doesn't want to go bankrupt, and I don't blame him for that.
Sure.
Nobody wants to do that. I said, there's also other plans out there that are forms of bankruptcy, which don't discharge all the debt, but basically you work out a payment plan where you can pay off these things. And I said, before I would do any of these things and talk to an attorney or induce another fee or talk to a, quote, professional loan organizer that charges you a fee, I would get on the phone and call every one of these people and tell them exactly what you told me, the truth. Here we are. This is our situation. I'm looking for help. Can you help me? Because very honestly, most of these companies don't get that very often. They get people hiding or not doing.
Right.
And if you call them up and say, hey, here's my situation. I'm trying to do the right thing. Here's exactly what I make. Here's where I'm at. And you're charging me 12 or 18% interest. I'm trying to do, how can you help me? And very often they will. But that's one of the first steps before you go into paying a service, because the services usually come in and do the same thing. They do an equation and do a thing, and they go back to these people and say, here's what it is, and they get a fee. I'm not against people making a fee, but very often people are afraid to address the question up front, like the Internal Revenue people are scared of them. And I'm telling you what, 90% of the time, if you just do it up front and tell them the truth, they help you. 1-888-221-8990. We're out of time pretty much, but maybe we don't. We got a question here. Sorry. We got a call on
sorry,
hold.
You lost a call on hold.
We lost him.
Yeah, call early next week.
Hey, whoever we had on hold, call next week or call back. Did you take the name and number of these people?
Nope, they didn't wait.
Okay, well, then call back, and they'll either take your time and take it and give it back to us, or call next week, either one. But I guess I'm supposed to say goodbye. I got 15 seconds. That's called
15 seconds.
You can cure the world. Well, not really, but 15. Hey, everybody. Not those that didn't call, call the station anytime or call back next week. We're glad to help you. That's the name of the game. You got a blessed group here, and we are here to help. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Team Martech Program. The Team Martech Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.